Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Everyone, it's the Rose, Rose Columbo right here for you every Wednesday from 12 to 1 p.m. I'm here on the West Coast, and it's a sunny day today, a beautiful day. Hope you're enjoying your weather, but we did have an earthquake over 6.8 over in Northern California. Hoping and praying everyone's okay in Northern California. And of course, it's 3 to 4 p.m. over on the East Coast, and it could be just about any time wherever you're at in the world, if you're listening on the worldwide internet. Or you can also listen by phone at 646-564-9742. And right now we're going to take a little break before we enter into the world of authors and experts, as well as we may have some time for the Justice Club. So don't touch that dial.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Columbo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Columbo, available at Amazon.com.
It's available at Amazon.com, and if you're concerned about saving humanity and the world, there is a message at the end that critics say all readers will be very concerned about life, about free will and free choice, and there's a reason for that, but you have to read the book in order to find out. A great gift for yourself or for your loved ones at Christmas to awaken the world what is actually going on through political satire, which is adventure, humor, and a scathing political message for humanity. And on that note, find out what's happening over in Benson, Arizona.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe. And that is between Sierra Vista, Tucson, Phoenix, and on your way up to Tombstone, and so many other cities. It's right in the center for some homemade good cooking by Patty and her staff. And you'll love the wonderful homemade dessert, especially the apple pie. And let's find out what's happening here with the Justice Club as well.
The Justice Club is back on Columbo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Columbo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hey everyone, welcome back. We had a couple of invites to the Horseshoe Cafe for this Christmas week. And now we're going to enter into the wonderful world of authors and experts. And our wonderful author and expert today is going to share his book. He is a repeat guest, and he has a very exciting book. It's very popular, in fact. And it is called Room Full of Killers. His name is Preston Rendell. I'm sure you heard his name because he lived in the Italian North End of Boston. He trained in boxing out of the New Garden Gym on Friend Street and the University Gym in the South End. Also opened the third health club in Massachusetts in Quincy in 1964, called President City Health Club, and the second health club on Cape Cod called Preston's Health Spa in Hyannis. He won Mr. USA Natural in Kansas City in 1981 and placed second in Mr. Universe Natural contests in Las Vegas and in 1988 as well. He has a website called Preston Health Spa. .net, so you can look him up. And his first book was Health Nuts, N-U-T-Z, Health Nuts on Cape Cod, and it's very funny and very humorous. So if you like humor, I definitely would suggest you look that up. Preston has written for 4 fitness magazines and currently resides in Yarmouth Port, Cape Cod, Massachusetts, with his constant companion Ruth and their 5 cats. He took 2 years off to write Room Full of Killers. And so let's just get started and let's say hello to our wonderful guest, Preston Rendell. Hi, Preston. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Ruth?
Oh, I'm doing great. We have some good weather here today in Southern California. So we're blessed and we're above the ground, so that's even better yet. How about you? How is it over in Cape Cod?
Oh, it's been, I haven't seen the sun in about a month and a half.
Seriously? Oh, my goodness. That's kind of dreary. Well, it gives you plenty of time to run.
My cat doesn't even want to go out. My cats don't even want to go out.
Do you still have 5 cats?
No. A couple of them passed away, and we just got a new one. One that was from a was abused and placed in Iowa. No, Iowa, let me think. In the Midwest, it was abused, and we picked it up, and we got it. It's a 3-colored Maine Coon cat that's gorgeous.
Yeah, my daughter has a big dog named Ralph, who everybody loves. He looks like a big bear, soft, furry, curly hair, but he's like gentle, very gentle dog, and he loves people. And then she has 3 cats, and at one time she had 5 cats, now she has 3 cats. And it's interesting when we go to her house. Cats are funny, and then of course, Ralph, he just likes people and he'll lick you to death if you let him or lay his head on your lap. And then my other daughter just got a little puppy, but he doesn't get big. He's going to be small. I think he goes to 13 pounds. Looks like a toy. And his well, her name is Daisy. She's like a little toy dog. And so, yeah, and, you know, why I was asking you about the cats, too, is because Preston, I don't remember what state it was, but I watched a video where this elderly lady would go to the park and she would feed the cat or the stray cats, or she would take them to a shelter or a vet to be neutered. And one day it was just this week I saw the video. She had driven to the same park she goes to looking for the stray cats to take care of them. And three cop cars pulled up. There was like six cops. And they arrested her. They even handcuffed her for feeding the cat in the park. Can you imagine that? That we are paying taxes for three cop cars, about six cops, arresting this elderly lady who was trying to help prevent the cats from getting pregnant and taking them to get neutered, or as well as feeding them. What do you think about that, since you love cats?
It's warped.
Mm-hmm.
It's warped.
This is where
our taxes are going. It goes along with everything else in this country right now.
It's like insane. It is. Yep. I mean, here's this American woman who probably worked and paid taxes all her life, supported the police and law enforcement and military and vets and the government. And now the American people seem to be the target rather than all the illegals who the FBI has identified many, many of them to be spies, jihadists, drug traffickers, fentanyl traffickers, child traffickers.
Oh, bring them all in.
Yeah. In 2021, I think it was 2021, I posted before they exiled me from Facebook, I posted on there that there was probably about that the media wasn't telling the truth, that there are not 12 million illegals, because they've been saying that since the 90s. So I said there has to be at least 30 million illegals in our country by now. And then right after that, a couple of weeks later, Stanford University posted their study on illegals, and they said there was 29.5 million at that time. So I was very close at 30 million illegals. And then they keep pouring in by the millions. And so we must be up to like 35 million by now. And I'm just like, where is this going to end? Well, Americans can't feed the cats, or they get a stray cat because they could get arrested. And we can't neuter them, or we could get arrested. I mean, you walk into on a government piece of property like January 6th, where they opened the gates and the doors and they could have locked them and not allowed them to come in, but they did allow them to come in. And from the video, it looked like they invited them in. And yet these people are treated worse than terrorists were treated at Gitmo, where they were given prayer rugs and they were given special prayer time and special food, and then they were released. I don't understand how this country a United Nation of hopefully loyal, patriotic Americans can watch what is happening as our Constitution is being trampled upon. And that all started this whole conversation because I know you love cats and my daughter loves cats as well as dogs, of course. But yeah, so it's the craziest, most insane times. Like they let all the crazies out and they're running the country now.
Sure.
So, yeah. So, Preston, tell us about your wonderful book so that people who don't know about your book, Room Full of Killers, will know about your book because it's pretty popular. And
I just ran an ad in the Boston Globe, but I'm good. Orders all over the place.
Oh, cool.
This story takes place in in Boston's North End, which is 100% Italian, at least it was then, in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And where the lead in the book is moves from the suburbs into, actually it's my life story, moved into the North End to get involved in boxing because the only gym in the state was in Boston. It was in the North End. So I moved in there, and as I did not know, there was a mob war going on for control of the rackets. Lucky me.
Well, you were very young.
Bodies showing up, all kinds of crazy stuff. I come home and there'd be cops taping off areas on the street where a guy got shot, and always something going on. And anyway, he gets involved in boxing, and he finds out that if you want to go anywhere in boxing, you gotta sign up with the mob. And doesn't want to do that. And so as a result of some nefarious things take place and shootings and et cetera, et cetera. And I got out of boxing. But in the book, he succeeds by having a senator in the United States who knew the mob guys who went in and told them to back off. And that's kind of what happened. There was a fighter in Boston called Marvin Hagler. They wouldn't give him a title fight because he wouldn't sign with the mob. So he had a mob guy speak up for him. I can't remember the guy's name. And they backed off of Hagler, and they gave him a title fight, and he was a champion for about 8 years.
Oh, wow. So when you're talking about boxing, how did you end up getting involved in boxing?
Well, it's a sequence of events. I was a skinny, asthmatic kid, and I mean skinny. I got a picture on my website of me when I was very, very skinny. I was a 97-pound weakling. I was a 77-pound weakling. So I got involved with lifting weights, and I got married to the weights, and I put on a bunch of weight, and I went up to actually, at one point, I was 230. And then I saw Sonny Liston and Cassius Clay were going to have a fight in Boston. So I went to see Sonny Liston train in Plymouth. And I went to see him train. And the next day I went to see Cassius Clay train. And I said, this doesn't look that hard. I said, they're getting $1 million a fight. So I got involved. But Liston was owned by the mob, and Clay was owned by somebody, I don't know who. But... So
you just walked in and you were able to watch them do their practicing, their boxing?
Yeah, they were training. And I went in to Plymouth and watched Sonny Liston train. He was amazing, absolutely amazing. Everybody in the place had their mouth open. They couldn't believe it. It was like watching a superhuman do stuff. Then I went to Boston. And I think it was $5 to get in to see Liston fight, which was no big deal back. But this was in 64 or so. Then I went, I went into Boston to see Cassius Clay train, and he was free. And in Plymouth, they were mobbed to see Liston. I don't think there was 10 people in to see Cassius Clay in the whole gym, which I thought was odd.
So were they like your role models to start to get involved in boxing? How did you get involved?
Well, I went to a gym in the North End, started training there. I had some fights and evolved, and I went into another gym after that with a guy. And that's how it started. And
Did you like boxing?
I liked boxing. I didn't like the legal crooked shit. And it was a lot. Pardon my language, but it was very, very crooked. And
because the mob was controlling it.
Oh yeah, there was a guy. I'll give you another story. I don't think I ever told you this one. There was a black guy in the gym. Can't remember his name, but he was a former fighter. He was pretty good. Used to train guys, and he had a pretty good record. I don't know how far he went. But all of a sudden, he just disappeared. I don't know what went on with that, but he just disappeared.
A lot of people must have disappeared back then, right? A lot of people disappear today.
This guy just disappeared. All of a sudden, he wasn't there. Nobody had an answer.
Wow. Probably better not to ask.
Well, he was a good fighter, good trainer. I don't know what happened, but he just vaporized.
Just vaporized. So,
yeah.
So did anybody ever approach you or threaten you when you were boxing?
No, but I got set up a couple of times, but it didn't work. I was supposed to fight an exhibition with this guy when I was an amateur. A kid named Paul Doyle. And he said, he's only got a couple of fights. I said, okay. So I went to, it was an outdoor event in a fin, fur, and feather club. I was at, for memory. It was in Norwood, Mass. So I went out there, and all of a sudden there's a Boston News radio station car, and they were going to film it and this and that. And so then I get into the supposed to be three-round fight, three-minute rounds. So after the end of, so it was just supposed to be an exhibition. So the first round, the guy comes out like a hurricane, starts throwing atom bombs at me. So what the hell is this all about? And I said, what are you doing? He didn't say anything, he just kept going. So I hit him with a right hand, he went down. I broke his nose. And he got up, round-ended, and went to my corner, and my manager wasn't there. So the full fight, so at the end of three rounds, I go back to the corner, and the guy said, it's going to go another round. I said, what? It's supposed to be three rounds. At the end of the fourth round, it's going to be another round. I said, what is it, five? I said, how many? I said, this, that was bull. So it went five rounds. And I kicked the guy's ass big time. And I found out from my father afterwards, my manager who was in my corner at the end of the first round, when I knocked the guy down, he went to the other guy's corner to take care of him. He told him it's going to be 3 minutes round. Nobody's going to hurt anybody. It's just going to be, you know, just blah, blah, blah. I said, what? Didn't happen that way. That was my first wonderful adventure.
Yeah, so they actually wanted you to lose the fight, right?
They wanted this guy to beat me up big time because I only had two or three fights at that time. This guy had 24 fights. He was supposed to be unbeaten. He was supposed to go in there and demolish me, and the newspapers, reporters were going to film it, and it was going to go on the news, and it was going to be a big kickoff for his pro debut. Did he beat me to death? That was the whole point of it. But it didn't happen.
Yeah, so what did your parents think about you boxing? I mean, it's kind of dangerous.
My mother died, was dead then, and my father, he was all for it. But I don't agree with some of the advice he gave me, you know. But he was all for it. He was a big boxing fan, you know. And I don't know what my mother would have done with it. I don't know.
So So you're boxing, and you were just a skinny kid, and you had, I believe you had asthma. You couldn't play sports. And then you asked your dad, I recall, to buy you a book on weights and building up your body. And you were surprised that he actually agreed to do it because it was rather out of a budget at the time, but he agreed to do it.
$30, 1957. $30 in 1957, that's a lot of money.
So when you got this book and you're just a kid, skinny kid, and I'm sure you got teased because the Italians did get teased back then, and people think only the blacks were discriminated against, but that's not true. Every ethnicity that came here got discriminated against. That's why they had their own neighborhoods.
I got abused by my brother and his friend.
Mm. And so what happened? I was curious, so you got this book. Were you, like, excited and you couldn't wait to start working out?
What they did is they sent me 7 weeks. Every week was a new book for body part, you know? It was like Christmas every time I received the book. They laid out, and I still have the 7 weeks of books in pristine condition. And they're going to go to the grave with me. I told Ruth when I go, they go too. These books are going in the grave with me.
Yeah, because they actually gave you a new life and saved your life.
Changed my life completely.
Yeah. And so... when you started
in high school.
Yeah, so you start building up all these muscles. You become a star athlete in high school. I'm assuming the kids stopped teasing you because you turned into a big muscular guy. So then after that, how did you get involved with Mr. USA and Mr. Universe?
Well, when I boxed, I never stopped working out with weights. They wanted me to because they said it'll make me muscle. And same old story. Like the coaches in high school told the kids don't lift weights because you're going to get muscle bound and blah, blah, blah. So, of course, I never stopped. And when I got through with boxing, I wanted to get involved big time in training. I switched over and got heavily involved in bodybuilding. And I opened up, actually it was the first health club in the state in Quincy, Mass, called President City Health Spa. I opened that, had it for 10 years. I sold it, then I went to the Cape. And about a year after I was in the Cape, I opened another health club. And that was the first health club. There was one there, but it was a dump. It was the first real health club on the Cape. And very, very popular. And I decided to enter a contest. So I entered a contest, and they did a big splash on me in their local newspaper, and business took off again. And it was a very, very, very exciting time in my life.
Yeah, those things are exciting when you do something like that. You know, like when I first sent in my first article to the LA Times, and it got published on the front page, and I was like so excited and shocked. It was a little story I had written. And those things are exciting, and then it enticed me to do more writing.
Same with me.
And then I was invited to be a member of the Los Angeles Press Club eventually. So these things happen to you, and sometimes they aren't planned, and you're not really expecting to win or be published or whatever, but it's so exciting. So you must have been really excited when you won Mr. USA. That's a big deal. And then
I came in second in Mr. Universe. And after I sold my second health club, I had an idea for an article, and I wrote a very extensive article, and I sent it to the second biggest bodybuilder magazine in the world. It was located in Canada. And I got a phone call from the owner. I couldn't believe it. He said, send more. But a week later, I got a $600 check, and I almost fainted.
That's so
I said,
exciting.
For writing, I get paid $600 for writing. I can't believe this. So I started writing for that magazine. Three other magazines contacted me and wanted me to write for them. So now I'm writing for four magazines at once. It was insane.
Yeah, well, that's exciting, though, too. I mean, Mr. Universe, Mr.
Yeah, one magazine was paying me $1,000 an article. Holy, Planet Muscle.
Planet Muscle. So did that writing actually catapult you into writing your book, Room Full of Killers?
Not really. I was 8 years old. I wrote my first story.
So tell me about your home life. I know what it's like to live in an Italian family, but a lot of people don't. And it's a little bit different back then. Of course, you know, as you get older, people have died and moved on or moved away and stuff. And your grandparents in our family were the ones who kept everybody together. And so tell us some interesting facts about when your mom was alive and the family and how life was.
She was the center of the family. She was the funniest person I ever met in my life. And everybody who knew her said the same thing.
Oh. I know.
She died in 1963 from a medical mistake. She had a hysterectomy, and the anesthesiologist wasn't paying attention, and the calcium went down. She died. But I found that out 30 years later. I found that out 30 years later from my aunt, who was the head of the hospital at the time. She didn't tell me.
Oh, my goodness.
Lobster, I guess.
Yeah, malpractice.
My mother was just so funny. You just can't imagine. She played the piano. She played the piano and sang.
Yeah.
She sang anything. She played pop music, everything. And she played, on Sunday, she played classical. She played Chopin. She liked him. Every Sunday, she wake us up with Chopin.
Wow.
Those
are nice memories.
What's that?
I said those are nice memories to have about your mother.
Oh, yeah.
Something, you know, memories. I tell the friend memories are etched into our hearts. So no one can take the memories away, the good memories. And those are the ones we should remember are the good memories. And
and
those are good memories.
She bought a house on Cape Cod, right near the beach,
mm-hmm.
And we used to go down there in the summers a lot. And that's how I started getting used to going to Cape Cod, and I really liked it. And I eventually settled here.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Boston, and I got out of there and I moved to the Cape. I've been down here for a long time now.
Yeah. So what's it like living on the Cape? What's it like living on Cape Cod?
Okay, here's the deal. Cape Cod is a strange place to live because it's tourists. In the summertime, mm-hmm. you can't move on it because there's so many tourists here. It's packed. In the wintertime, the restaurant, because of the lack of people in the wintertime, the restaurants are giving all kinds of deals, like 2-for-1 and the restaurant, and they give away food. So I'm out to eat at least 4 days a week. And luncheons, it's unbelievable. But it's really packed in the summer, especially in August. In August, you can't even go anywhere. You can't take a left turn because of the traffic.
Wow. That's amazing. I know. I've never been there.
I say, here comes Cape Cod. There's no more left turns. It's packed.
So, yeah. So, didn't you write a funny book?
I did. After I saw my health club, on Cape Cod, I hibernated and wrote a book called Health Nuts on Cape Cod, which is all the crazy scenes and situations from my Quincy Health Club and my Hyannis Health Club. I put them in a book. And it's for sale on my website.
Yeah, and it's a really fun book.
Yeah, Health Nuts, NUTZ, on Cape Cod.
So Room Full of Killers was your second book.
Yeah.
And Room Full of Killers is very popular and still popular today. So
when we
get back into A Room Full of Killers, a lot of the story actually has to do with your, can I say this, with what happened to you in your life. And so.
Autobiographical.
Mm-hmm. Turned fictional, yeah. And so who would you say was the, what would you say was a really exciting time that, or event, let's say, that you recall in the book that stands out in your mind?
Exciting thing. Winning fights, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty exciting. You wake up and say, I still got my head on my shoulder. Then I wake up and say, I still got my head on my shoulder. I'm a little sore, but I won.
I know. You know, what is it like to be in the ring and then get knocked down? And I mean, it must affect your head for sure, your brain. I mean, every time
I never got knocked down. I never got knocked down. I took a few lumps, but I never got knocked down. I got more injuries, hurt, sparring in my gym than I did in the fights.
Oh, from lifting weights?
No, sparring.
Oh.
In the gym, boxing.
Okay. Oh, sparring, okay. And then what about a funny story you can recall in one of your gyms? I'm sure you can remember one of those.
Oh, geez. Well, we had one guy joined at Christmas time, and he was Looney Tunes. he was so far out there, it was unbelievable. I called him Ron from Planet Xenon. He came in. And everybody in the health club knew him. They used to call him Ron. From, you know, he joined at Christmas time, so his nickname was Jingle Bells. One of the members came in, and he says to me, I just saw Jingle Bells outside. Why? What about him? He said, he's standing on the edge of a curb, and he's got his 2 feet, he's got his heels on the curb and his feet on the street. And he's bending over forward. He's looking forward straight with a straight blank face on his face, and he's not moving. So what's he doing? He's just standing there. I said, why? I said, you got to ask Ron that. He used to take 1 hour showers at the health club. And his roommate joined the health club, and I told him about it. He said, that's nothing. He takes two other 1 hour showers at the house. This guy was out there.
Wow. So
the health club attracts them. The health club attracts them. They think that if they got some kind of idiosyncrasies or they're warped, they said they're going to join a health club and it's going to make everything right. I used to say it's salt air in the Cape Cod. It's rusting their brain.
I thought the salt air had ions and was good for your brain.
Was it?
Yeah, it's supposed to be good for your brain.
Yeah, it's just in their brain.
Yeah, because we live like, maybe 15 minutes, 10 or 15, yeah, 15 minutes to the ocean. And we get a lot of the ocean breeze. The ions are supposed to be good for your brain. It's supposed to awaken your senses.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how awake, yeah, but maybe I should go outside more and breathe in more ions.
Oh, I love it. I'm surrounded by ocean.
Yeah.
This is pretty much an island.
Yes, I know. And so do you go boating?
I used to. I don't know. I can't stand up so good. I got neuropathy in my legs, and I can't stand up in a shaky boat.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. And that just happened recently. But I have you in my prayer. So hopefully that'll pass too. And so what would you say in your book, Room Full of Killers, about your hot romance? How did you meet your love of your life?
Oh, I met this girl at the one and only hot pizza place in the North End called Regina. I think it's just the best pizza I've ever had. And I used to eat. I lived about a 5-minute walk from there. And it was always packed. It was always from tourists packed all the time. And I went in one night and it was mobbed, and they sat me at the bar, and they sat me beside this girl. I started talking to her, and it turned into something. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And she's Italian, half Italian and half Russian. Now, there's a joke there somewhere. I can't remember what it was. This is, she's half Mussolini and she's half Stalin.
That's funny. So, was it love at first sight?
No. No, yeah, she's a very attractive girl. But I don't think it was love at first sight.
No. Well, you hear about love at first sight, you know.
What's that?
Oh, I said a lot of people, you know, say that it was love at first sight when they meet somebody.
I've had a couple of those, but that wasn't one of them.
I think we all did. I only had one, actually, love at first sight. That was my husband who passed away. But I knew we were going to get married when I saw him. Isn't that funny?
I saw a girl in 1968. My eyes flew out of my head. Most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. Even until today, I haven't seen anything like her.
Really?
But, On TV, on movies, anything, nothing. From neck down to the neck up. She's the most exquisite thing I've ever seen.
Well, maybe she was an angel.
She didn't have an ounce of wit. She was dumb as rain.
I just read some guy on online said that if a man has to choose between two women, he's going to choose the one that has the lesser brain. I thought that was pretty funny. Like, okay, whatever. But in your case, you didn't.
She was. I'm. My style is I'm very, very fast witty. And she never got. I have to explain things to her after I did it. I said, "This means oh, I got it. Ha ha ha." You know, she'd never get it. It was so quick.
I had a friend that was my best friend's brother, and he was older than us, but our families remained friends forever. And he and I used to go, and he passed away, but he and I used to, we were just friends because we were family, and we go and have dinner together or lunch or whatever, and he looked like Clark Gable. He had the dimples and the twinkle in his eye, and he was so funny. But I didn't think his jokes were so funny, but he would laugh, and he had this twinkle in his eye, and then that would make me laugh. So he thought I was laughing at his joke, but I was laughing because he was laughing at his own jokes, and so it made it funny to me, you know. And so he never knew I wasn't really laughing at his jokes.
Oh, well, I guess that's good.
I just thought it was so funny that he was, you know, laughing at his jokes, and so it made me laugh too, because laughter is contagious, you know.
Oh yeah.
I like people who laugh too. I like to joke around. I like people who have a sense of humor.
My mother was the funniest person. She didn't stop. It's not like she tried to be. She just couldn't help us. That's the way she was. It was ingrained in her. That's what it is with me. Same thing.
That's probably why you like laughter too, and you like to joke around.
Yeah.
You have quick wit. Yeah. So it wouldn't be a match for you to be with somebody that didn't, obviously.
Oh yeah.
So, well, you didn't tell us what happened with your hot romance.
Oh. How do I explain it? Well, I'm still with her, but it ain't so hot anymore.
I think
Antarctica.
I wasn't expecting that, but okay.
Think Antarctica in a bathing suit.
Oh, my goodness. Well, sorry about that. Oh, my God.
It went from Mount Vesuvius to Antarctica. Of course, it's been a lot of years.
Oh, but some people stay in love forever, you know. Like my grandparents. They were always together. But you can see the love, you know what I mean? But there's nothing worse than
I'm still with that. The only time we're together is when we have supper and we watch Jeopardy.
That's it. Well,
once in a while we go out to eat. Say it again.
Oh, I said I'm sorry to hear that.
Well,
that isn't fun.
Cooled off substantially.
Sorry, but when you said Mount, what was it?
Mount Vesuvius, Antarctica.
that could be a title for a book.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So, okay, but you did have this hot romance in the book that you talk about. And then what would you say it was like living in an Italian neighborhood versus living in a diverse neighborhood today?
North Carolina was the best place to live back then. Now it's diversified. There's crime in there. They never had crime in there before.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no crime at all. It's diversified, and they get all kinds of people in there, and it's break-ins and
purse
snatching.
None
of that happened. When it was Italian, there was nothing. None of it would happen.
No.
When I lived there, this is the only thing I can tell you. There was a couple, two or three break-ins in apartments when I lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wondered who it was. Then all of a sudden it stopped, and somebody told me it was a 14-year-old kid, and he's out of the North End. I said, what do you mean? He said he doesn't live here anymore. I said, okay. I don't know if they killed him or moved him or what, but he's stopped.
Yeah, they didn't, back, you know, back in the day, they didn't mess around with any kids who were bad, who had bad thoughts in their heads and did bad things. But the whole neighborhood would know about it.
Get rid of them.
I mean, there's a difference now. I mean, like, you know, like you can get away with anything because everybody knew everybody back then, and they didn't care if they disciplined somebody else's kid, and neither did the parents. So, but today it's like you'll get in trouble for disciplining a kid, you know, and I don't mean hitting them, but just disciplining them, period. And everybody like, yeah, and there's no discipline going on today. I mean, they're like entitled. They can go in and they think they can just
social
go into a store and beat people up and they're going to get away with it. And so it's a really different world we're living in, and it's not for the better either.
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. And we can see the difference.
I live in the North End. The locals would drive down the street and triple park their car on Main Street, Hanover Street. They'd triple park and go in and get a haircut. No problem.
And the cops were pretty friendly, too. You know, they didn't really.
They didn't do anything. There were no cops down there.
Yeah, and I mean, even here in our county, we didn't have any real crime that ever even hit the news, except for white collar crime, where the public servants were stealing money from the taxpayer or something like that. But now people are locking their doors, locking their cars, because we're on the border and we've got all these people, unknown people who are coming in. And then the inflation, you know, is hitting really hard in California. And
I can imagine. And then what's the gas now out there?
It's what?
How much is gas? What's the price of gas now out there?
Oh, the last time I saw it was around $4. It was clear up to $7. Yeah.
Wow.
And, about $4. And it was up to $7. And, I mean, it's insane. I mean, people have families, you know. They have children. I mean, and then these politicians who, you know, they've made themselves wealthy.
I don't know how that governor stays in office.
Actually, we don't need the government. We would do better without the government. I mean, seriously.
The stuff he's doing is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, they don't pay attention to the Constitution. They just tell you, well, you lost your job during the experiment we were having since 2019. Well, too bad. Just go get another one. Go find something else to do. Go online and find a job. I mean, it is so insane and insensitive. They have no compassion. They are so out of touch with the American people. And now it's like gender mutilation for children, for profit. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. It's like living in Hades right now. Seriously, it's pretty scary to see what sanity is being pushed on children with the gender confusion and identification. And then
I don't get that at all.
It's horrible.
I don't understand that at all.
No, because it's evil. It doesn't come from God. It's just plain evil. And anybody who says, you know, you're just racist or you're just don't get it or whatever. No, we get it. We get it. And it's called evil and a child abuse. That's what it is. It's child abuse and evil and greed. And they just don't care about the American people anymore. They passed another $1.7 trillion bill that the taxpayers are supposed to pay back, but they can't even pay back the $23 trillion that's already been borrowed. And so they're going to crash the economy, probably. That's what they're going to do.
Biden just sent another $1.5 billion over Ukraine.
Oh, not his money. What does he care? He should go dig out some of that money from China and send it over there. You know?
$1.5 billion to Ukraine.
That's insane. And Zelensky just bought his dad and mom an $8 million mansion. So hey, I guess they're all living in the lifestyle we're providing for everybody around the world. So people in America are really hurting. There's 17 million plus children starving in America, going to bed hungry or not having breakfast, and nobody cares in the government.
The illegals come across and they meet them with medical, food, clothes, cell phone.
They get everything. Yeah, it doesn't matter if they're a criminal or not. Trespassing. What's amazing to me is they trespass on our private property, and then if we trespass on government property or private property, we get arrested, but they don't. That bugs the heck out of me. But nobody cares, so step up. But Preston, it's always so much fun to talk to you. I love talking to you. And
I love talking to you.
So happy that your book, Roomful of Killers, is still going strong. It's a great book, and people should read it because it has a lot of excitement going on in it.
I'm now trying to have it made into a movie.
Absolutely. It would be a great movie, and I'm all for you. And we'll just think positive, and we'll see it as a movie. And visualize it. And I'm going to continue to pray for your health, and you know that you get well really really soon, and for your love life to improve, and so you're not in the Antarctica anymore. That was pretty funny, Chris.
What?
Because that was pretty funny. Was pretty funny. Your analogy. About love.
From Vesuvius to, and that's true. I'm sitting with no underwear on an iceberg in Antarctica, and the last boat just left. I'm still there.
I know, there's always hope. There's always hope. That's for sure. There's always hope for a new ship to come back into port and dock.
Hey, you forgot me. Hey. What about me?
What about you, Preston? Yes, you're a great guy. And I'll talk to you again soon. And tell our audience, if you have a website, and tell our audience where they can get your book, Roomful of Killers.
Okay, my website is www.prestonshealthspa.com. And my book's available on Amazon, Roomful of Killers. Not to be confused with a guy who put in the title of his book, A Roomful of Killers.
Oh, wow.
Trying to mooch off. Yeah. And he's hoping people will buy the wrong book, but I always tell people, look for my name beside the title, Roomful of Killers. I guarantee you like
sure.
It. The screen, I say in my ad, this, I got it right here. I'll read it. Give you a quick. Introduces three generations of Romasco from Abruzzi, Italy, and it's filled with humor, homemade elderberry wine, and so much food you might gain weight just by reading the book.
I love it.
I have all these monstrous feasts. My mother cooked dinner. She cooked feasts because her mother lived with us. So it was my mother and my grandma, and they'd cook dinner for, like on Sundays. It'd be for 30 people, but I'd just be like four people, you know, five people. And she cooked enough food for 30 people.
I know. We go to my grandma's. Yeah, big pot of spaghetti on the stove with meatballs and pizza and you name it, fried chicken.
And we'd eat Italian food for the rest of the week.
Yeah, exactly. You can freeze it. That's why. Well, Preston Rendell, I'm going to tell everybody to get a room full of killers. You'll love it. And also, I wish you much success with the movie. And, of course, we will be talking again. So keeping you in my prayers, too, for complete recovery and that everything works out perfect for you. And God bless you, Preston, and have a very, very Merry Christmas.
Wishing you the exact same thing, Rose. It's been my pleasure being on your show.
Thank you, Preston. And we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Preston Rendell has left the building, and be sure when you put room full of killers in the search box that you put his name, Preston Rendell, R-E-N-D-E-L-L. You'll love the book. And on that note, I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday, Happy Hanukkah, and peace on earth and goodwill to men everywhere.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies, and now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Colombo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Colombo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you. And so does the Rose.